I guess this week was a lot more eventful than last week. That's probably an understatement.
Understatement.
But yeah, let's just start with, I guess, the thing that most people are probably here to hear about, which is the forthcoming, now we know, Nest Mini, which I got some information from a source this week. And basically, Google is doing a second generation version of the Google Home Mini. Which, now that I know the name of this one, the previous name feels like a little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, it is always a mouthful.
All of the Google Home names were that way. But yeah, I mean, so this version is coming. And this is the first we've really heard of or solid information we've had of anything related to a second generation Google Home Mini. We had that report from Nikkei earlier this year, which said that there was some kind of new Google Home coming, which we've been interpreting. If you've been watching the show, we've been kind of interpreting that as a second generation standard Google Home, which may still be coming. We don't know, really. Not yet, at least. But we do now have solid, it seems like solid information on a second generation of the smaller, cheaper, exceedingly popular, part of every single giveaway on the entire web version of the Google Home. So let's just jump right in and let's talk about different things that we learned about it and just share some of our thoughts on some of these things. I guess the first thing is that it is going to be called the Nest Mini, which this is something that Google announced back at Google I/O 2019. They don't typically confirm these kinds of things super early, but they did in this case. One of the questions alongside the announcement of the Nest Hub Max, which for those that don't know is the new larger smart display version of the Google Home Hub. These names are all over the place. And Google confirmed that the Nest name, along with this consolidation of kind of the Google Nest brand, that happened at I/O alongside the announcement of the Nest Hub Max, they confirmed that the Nest name would be coming to the rest of the Google Home products. And it's not been clear until now exactly how that would happen. There were some educated guesses that we've made. I think we've made them on this show even. But now we know for sure that the smaller of the three Google Homes, which that's also something we don't know. We don't know if there will be three going forward. There's lots of potential changes that might be coming to the lineup. But assuming there's three and assuming Google is going to just revamp the three that we have, the three audio based Google Homes, I should say, this is going to be the name for the smaller one, Nest Mini. What do you think about it?
It's cleaner. And, I guess my favorite thing about it is that it doesn't have the word home in it, because many people assume because of the Google Store and, made by Google Twitter, like leaking these names of the Nest Home, suggesting a rebrand, that when the actual first product with the Nest Mini, there won't be another modifier next to Nest. And I think that's so much cleaner and will make it so much easier for Google to sell this rebrand into Google Nest.
Yeah, it's just also kind of confusing, I think, because the Google Home, the brand Google Home has become, I think, pretty well
known. Yeah, it's a good one.
And it's not really the word home that makes it a brand. It's the fact that it's the Google Home. It's really a Google Home, and that's kind of the two words together is kind of what makes up the brand. And the same thing, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but the same thing has kind of happened with the Google Pixel. I don't know if you remember, but the very first Google Pixel on the box, it didn't say Google Pixel. It was not the Google Pixel phone. It was Pixel, just the word Pixel, kind of like I think they kind of were trying to do iPhone, you know, Pixel, comma, phone by Google. And so by doing it that way, they were trying to establish the brand as just the single word Pixel, the Pixel. I think that's what they were hoping, but that's not how it worked out. And we might be partly at fault for that, but because that's what we've been calling it since day one is Google Pixel.
And another big example of that is Assistant, how Google, in Google's ideal world, it becomes a generic, the Assistant, the Home, and you automatically assume it's a Google product. That has always seemed to be their intention, but coming up with reality, that's not the case.
Yeah, exactly. That's just not how it's going to be going forward, it seems. And I think that, honestly, and I don't know yet. I mean, it's good. We still have a lot to learn, and it'll be interesting to see how Google tells this brand story at Made by Google later this year. But we still don't know. Like, I don't know. Nest Mini does not really sound to me like a very good name, because it doesn't ring any bells. If I were to tell someone, hey, you should get a Nest Mini. If I were to tell my mother-in-law, you should get a Nest Mini, she would be like, what's that? You know?
But I think in terms of like the home consumer devices strategy, it's you have the Nest Mini, you have the Nest Hub, you have the Nest Hub Max. I think that's a clear lineage that Google can offer. Because I think another theory I'm going to extend is I think we're going to see the end of the Google Home, of that middle form factor for Google. Instead of offering a standalone speaker, I could very well see them push the Nest Hub as that default device. And given the prices and the price cuts we're seeing for the smart display, it makes so much more sense for that to be Google's front and center product. And if you want something smaller, you get the Nest Mini. I think there's a good naming scheme there going for Google.
So you think that... That actually solves another kind of gripe that I had with this, is that if the middle tier Google Home continues to exist, then it would be called the Nest, just the Nest, because to me Mini and Max are modifiers of the main name. Would it be called Nest, or would it be called Nest Home? Which, and then if you have Nest Home and then you have Nest Mini, that makes the Nest Mini sound like it's not a Nest Home, which it is the same category. And so that's a problem. And I think that you're right that if they were to do Nest Hub, Nest Mini, and Nest Max, then that makes more sense. Just ditching the middle tier standard Google Home alleviates that problem. So, but I guess my concern is that this does feel like, if I'm honest, a really jarring brand change, which that's par for the course with Google. But I just don't know how this is going to fare for like holiday marketing and stuff like that. You have any thoughts?
So
on that?
Do you think Google, Made by Google, could have sustained two smart home product brands, Nest for like dedicated smart devices, and Home for like devices you actually interact with?
No, I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense that they would bring them under the same umbrella. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's multiple arguments, and I'm sure many, many things that have been talked about internally in this whole Nest being part of Google and then leaving Google and then coming back to Google. There have been so many layers of that conversation. Another thing that's been brought up that we've mentioned on the show before is that I think at one point it seemed like it made sense to separate Nest from Google because the privacy concerns and the fact that you're having Google cameras in your home and Google potentially unintentionally have picking up the brand of being kind of a 1984 kind of situation. That was like whenever Nest left Google, it's like, oh, that makes so much sense because these are all smart home products. And these are, I mean, one of their most popular products is a camera. And it makes sense that Google would want to distance itself from being associated with basically just Big Brother. But now they're back under the umbrella. Maybe they did some research. Maybe they have some data that shows that that's not really a real concern among consumers. That would be my guess. Because otherwise, I don't think they would have done this. But yeah, I think it makes sense that since Nest is Google's product, and I think that since the Nest, they own obviously the IP of the name Nest, and I think that Nest has a pretty good reputation in the smart home category. I think it makes sense that they would use it and now bring that name across their existing non-Nest up to now smart home products. But I don't know. It's just to me, I just don't see how this is going to work out so well. I mean, is this going to, to me, it seems like it might hurt sales a little bit this winter, because I just feel like it's really jarring. But I don't know. Maybe people are less sensitive than I think to these kind of changes.
Yeah, it all depends. Do people know when you say Nest Mini what it is automatically?
And I think the answer is no to that for sure.
Unless Google has research that the name that people took away from the Google Home Mini was actually Mini, I could see that being their justification. But more broadly, I agree with you. When they need to see a picture of what the Nest Mini is, there's no brand recognition. And another, and there's no pattern recognition. So either Google needs to start cleaning, like reduce the number of smart home products they're offering so that it's easier for people to keep in their minds what Google offers, or I don't know what they end up doing with the Nest Mini, a marketing blitz.
Yeah, the other potential answer to this is that we are severely overthinking it and that it's going to be just fine. People will translate in their minds Google Home Mini. Oh, now it's Google Nest Mini. Cool. And it'll be no big deal at all. And who knows?
We'll
see. Because, I mean, Google Home Mini is a mouthful. And I'm definitely not saying that this is the wrong move. It seems overall like Google has put the puzzle together in a way that's going to be cohesive in the next year. But in the short term, it seems confusing. But, you know, every brand change, that's what it means. It means confusing
every consumers.
Every Google change. Exactly. Anyways. That's the name. We spent way too long talking about the name, and I'm sure many people don't care about the minutia of the branding situation. But it's interesting to us. Another thing about the Nest Mini that people should know is that apparently it has a wall mount built in now, which, for those that don't know, that has been a very, very popular third-party accessory for the Nest Mini, the Google Home Mini. Various kinds of wall mounts. There have been some that had adhesive that you could even stick to your ceiling, or, you know, adhesives that you could stick to the wall, or different kinds of doohickeys that you could put the Google Home Mini in and it would let you hang it on an outlet, which I don't know how safe that is, but there have just been various third-party accessories. I mean, I'm sure many of these third-party accessory makers have really been pushing their products in the form of Google AdSense that's been running on our own website. Apparently they're building it in now.
Yeah.
What's that?
The wire, the concept of having a wire run up your wall seems not good. Yes, that's my two cents.
Yeah, and maybe that's one aspect of the Google Home Mini the Nest Mini that we don't know yet. Maybe there's a battery of some kind. I don't know. But even then, that doesn't really make sense. There have been I've seen so many cases of people do really interesting things. Wiring the wire inside the wall, just like any other appliance, like a ceiling fan.
That's commitment.
I've seen cases like that. I mean, that is commitment, and that's farther than I would go probably, but it is clean and it looks nice. And it'll be nice that it now is whatever it is. We don't know what that wall mount kind of is going to look like. Is it going to be some kind of adhesive or hook system, or I don't know. I would guess that it's just a groove to slide it onto a nail.
So is Google going to include the whatever goes onto your wall too? Are they going to, is it going to be an adhesive?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was wondering. Is it going to be like, they do a similar thing with the Nest thermostat where it's kind of like
the cameras specifically.
Yes.
They have experience with this, so maybe it won't be that bad. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, this is definitely, they've done this with other Nest products. Just like the camera, there's, you know, it has a wire too. It's unavoidable, you know, just a matter of what you do with it. I think one of the main things that would have prevented wanting to permanently mount a Google Home Mini to my wall was just kind of, I don't know, it's like not expensive enough to warrant the hard work or warrant, I mean, it's like not nice enough, you know. It's like the speaker is pretty low quality, and you know, mounting it to the wall is a pretty big commitment for something that costs $29. It might cost you more than $29 to run the wire in the mount wall.
and
it just doesn't sound good. So it's kind of a, I don't know.
I also want to add that I think every Google map was able to get people to forget about this, but the defect with the Home Mini is that if you tap the center to do OK Google, it automatically what was the error? It was the fabric was interfering with the touch mechanism or something like that.
Right, and it was making the OK Google, sorry for saying the hot word, everyone. It was making the hot word trigger even when you weren't touching it. So this was actually, for those who don't remember, this was Artem over at Android Police was the first person that noticed this and had Google engineers come barge into his house, because this was happening literally like the day after the Made by Google event, something like that. And basically his Google Home Mini, he was finding it when he was going into his Google account, he was finding that there were all these recordings of just background noise at his house that the Google Home Mini was picking up without him saying the hot word. And Google thankfully took it really seriously, and within days
disabled the entire feature.
Right.
So, entire hardware element. So hopefully that makes a return, because having a manual button where you don't have to use the hot word is kind of nice.
Yes, it is nice, and I'm hoping that's fixed with the Nest Mini. But kind of going back to what I was saying a minute ago about mounting it on the wall, one of the problems with that to me was the sound quality, and we're hearing from our source that the new Nest Mini has better sound quality than the previous, which is appreciated. I'm assuming it's just going to be closer in quality to the standard Google Home. I don't know how small you can make it, but I wouldn't be shocked if they've managed to make the Mini, obviously not sound as good as the standard Google Home today, but I wouldn't be shocked if they could get it close, especially if they bumped up the size of the Nest Mini just slightly. They could probably fit those drivers in there, mm-hmm. without it being too crammed. So yeah, that's another thing that's happening with the Nest Mini, is it'll sound better, which it's great. Something else.
The aux apparently jack is the other big aspect of this sound improvements.
Yeah, right. And we don't know. We don't know the details of that. I basically have seen a spec sheet that says that has an aux jack, and we don't know what that will mean. Will it be a aux jack for input? Will it be for, you know, plugging your phone into it while it's sitting in your kitchen on your counter, and you know, you'll be able to play music from your phone on the speaker, or will it be used as a Chromecast audio, which, for those that don't know, Google discontinued recently.
And people have been, they're very excited about using this Home Mini, this Nest Mini, as a replacement to the Chromecast audio, surprisingly, which I guess that speaks to people who have more advanced sound systems and missed having a quick accessory to hook up to the Google Cat, to Chromecast. But I'm personally surprised by the reaction to it has an aux jack and can compete with the Echo Dot.
Yeah, because the Echo Dot, I mean, the aux jack on the Echo Dot is useful for a few different reasons. I think one of the big things is that it makes it pretty easy to, this is something that the Chromecast audio couldn't do. You can plug the Echo Dot into any sound system and turn that sound system effectively into a Google Home. Or an Amazon Echo. So you could plug the Echo Dot into your living room sound system, and the Echo Dot's going to be the microphone that's hearing you, but it's obviously responding through the larger speakers. And that's something that's not been possible. That wasn't even possible with the Chromecast audio. The Chromecast audio was purely for casting audio to the device, which was then played through. So you couldn't use the Chromecast audio didn't have a microphone. You couldn't use it as a Google Home or use Google Assistant. So this is better than a Chromecast audio if this is the way it works. If Google is planning to allow this, it could be really useful for that. And the other thing, obviously, is just effectively replacing the Chromecast audio. The Chromecast audio was kind of a niche device, in my opinion. It basically, you know, $30 and you can Chromecast enable any legacy old speakers. At this point, I feel like a lot of people own speaker systems that are either connected to a smart TV. And so what's the point of Chromecast audio if you can just cast the audio to the television and then, you know, the television's audio is being pumped to the speakers. So it kind of felt redundant in light of all of the smart devices in our lives at this point. Especially given, I mean, another thing is that, I mean, I don't know. it was just really specific, you know. It's just just a 3.5 millimeter audio jack, and I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like that it probably, I would guess that the sales numbers on it weren't crazy huge
enough for them to keep updating it, which they didn't.
Interesting fact, I have never seen, not once, a Chromecast Audio in the wild, except for the one that I personally own. And I mean, it's been out for what, 3-4 years at this point. I've never seen one. I've literally never seen one in someone's house, or I've never known anyone that has owned one that talks about how they use their Chromecast Audio to cast audio to their legacy speakers. So anecdotal, but I just have never seen one outside of the one that I own. So that just tells you, I guess. And on the other hand, I've seen dozens of Chromecasts. So anyways, niche Google product. It's going to go, it went the way of Google Clips. Rest in peace. That's that. Is there anything else? Oh, another thing that we heard about is that it has some kind of proximity sensing. So in one way or another, it's going to sense that you're there, and it's going to react to that in some way. It seems like what that's going to mean is it's just going to light up and, you know, sense that you're there and basically give you visual feedback for the current set volume, which is basically all the four dots on the top of the Google Home Mini do in the first place. It's just show you the current volume. And so if it recognizes that you're standing in front of it and it lights up real quick to show you that the volume is set at where it's set, that's probably what's going to happen with the proximity awareness. I saw some people misreporting something that what I wrote. Some people were saying, several articles I read that were reporting what I wrote said that it would allow you to walk up to the Home Mini and it would trigger the hot word. And I don't have any reason to believe that that's the case.
And something like that for Google on the privacy standpoint wouldn't be, there's not enough confirmation there that I think Google would be comfortable turning the hot word on by itself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've already had one debacle with Google Home Mini hot words and enabling themselves unintentionally. Yeah, that definitely. I don't think that would even be on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's Google Nest Mini. We're assuming it's going to be $49. It seems like it's going to be a direct replacement of the current model. The current model has been on sale for $29 for a while. And it's been obviously free in many, many cases in tandem with buying, you know, various other products at various retailers. And it seems like this is just going to be a moderate bump in specs and functionality and same price. Seems like there might be some new colors. Google tends to do new colors when they refresh their products. Thanks, Ivy. So that's Google Nest Mini. And if you have any questions about it, feel free to leave us some thoughts, questions on the Alphabet Scoop post on 95google.com or in the YouTube comments, and we'll maybe address those in a future show. That's Nest Mini. Any other thoughts on that before we move on?
I'm curious people that already have Home Minis think this is a worthy upgrade, $49 and I don't know, $39, $29 would be even cheaper, but how much innovation is there in smart speakers for everybody across an industry? Is it worth it?
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point. I think at this point, especially the Google diehards or the smart home diehards, I should say, probably have half a dozen Google Homes in their house. It'll be really interesting to see. Are we just going to see a mass exodus of dozens or thousands of Google Home Minis get thrown in the trash because they're effectively disposable in terms of price for many, many people? And this is, I think, to me, this seems like a worthy upgrade, especially with the added functionality of, you know, the aux jack, which that just expands the number of people who might be interested in it.
It seems like
a worthy upgrade.
Yeah, it is. Especially
at $49. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
just like the original.
The cost beats everything else.
Just like the original was a no-brainer, just an impulse buy level product, you know, I think this will also be an impulse buy level upgrade.
And yeah, that's very true.
I can just imagine just every Goodwill in America just flooded with hundreds of first generation Google Home Minis.
Oh gosh, that's a sight. That's definitely a sight.
As Google has focused on these different green initiatives, sorry, excuse me. That's going to be one of the things that will be interesting is like these Google, I mean, with phones, it's kind of, we've accepted that phones are a 2-year product, and that's becoming less so the case because phones have matured so much, maybe 3-4 year upgrade cycles for some people at best. But what about smart home products? You know, are we going to see people upgrade their smart home products regularly? And what happens?
Yeah,
we need some infrastructure on recycling for these because I really could see Google Home Minis being thrown in the trash.
I am curious about the lifespan of smart speakers and smart home accessories because how often do you replace your lamp?
Right. Exactly.
I think that's probably something that Google would answer. How many years did they, when they build these products, how many years do they think that it'll last, especially the speakers with no screens or reduced chances of burning? That's, the longevity is so interesting.
Right, and they don't wear either. That's a huge thing to me is like with phones, they wear. Their screens crack, they, you know, get scratches, their batteries slowly wear out. You know, everything about a phone just wears because it's in your pocket all day, every day, and you're using it all day, every day. And the components themselves are obviously more fragile in many ways. The Google Home Mini, if I upgrade, you know, the Google Home Mini is functionally perfect as if I bought it yesterday. So, I mean, what's going to happen to all these used Google Home Minis? Are people just going to throw them on Craigslist for $1? Because they're already basically free. Are people going to be selling these things for, you know, like $1 or giving away? I mean, that's one of the fascinating things about this upgrade cycle with the Google Home Mini will be a product that's already extremely impulse buy, ubiquitous, and basically free for many people is now being upgraded and replaced. So there's going to be an entire round of people who are upgrading their first generation Google Home Minis. Many people might have 3 or 4 in their house, and they're going to have 3 or 4 to give away. They're just going to give them away to their family, which it's going to be, I feel like we're going to see Google's, you know, dominance in this area. I mean, there's so many people that are going to have Google Home Minis. They didn't even want them. They didn't even think about buying them. Their brother gave them to them because they just had to get rid of them.
Mm.
So, yeah, but I guess this is nothing new. We're on the third generation Echo Dot, so the dynamic of
current
third generation. But yeah, you bring up a good point. It's like what's going to motivate people to upgrade these, and it's got to be significant feature adds, I think, because like you said, they're like appliances. They don't wear.
And the sad truth is that I don't think most people care about audio quality. The vast majority of people.
Yeah, it depends on what you're using it for. I definitely don't use my Home Mini for listening to music because the audio quality is bad enough in my kitchen. But maybe that's just because I'm spoiled and I have like 3 Google Homes and a Max and, you know, got way better speakers than that. So it feels really weird to use it as a music player. But anyways, that's Nest Mini. Let's move on a little bit and talk about some other topics before we wrap up the show. We did talk about Nest Mini for a really long time. But it's nice that we have something to talk about at all, because for the last few weeks it's been really slow. Let's talk about today's big news. So give us the gist on that.
So, Android Q is coming this quarter in the coming weeks. That's official. That's officially from Google. And when it launches, it won't be Android Q. It'll be Android 10, because Google is using this release as an opportunity to update the Android brand completely. Let's start the naming. It won't be Q. It won't have dessert names going forward. Google will just be using the version number that's always been there to refer to the OS.
Okay, well, let's stop and talk about that before we move on to the other things that are happening. The name, the dessert name, This is probably the biggest piece of controversy and the biggest piece of the most contentious part of this announcement. And understandably so. This is a tradition. Traditions die hard when they do die. And the desserts have been around since the very first version of Android, pretty much. And they've been an annual or more than annual tradition. Every single release has pretty much had a dessert name. Going back, we can think of pie and nougat and lollipop and marshmallow. Those, I guess, the most recent ones. And this year, they've decided they're not doing it anymore. And the response has been varied. I feel like a lot of the diehard Android community, which I feel like for us, we're kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out on that. So part of us is also kind of, mourning with the rest of the Android community that the desserts are gone. But also I think we're a little bit more forward thinking in many ways, and we're happy to see this new cleaner, modernized, version of the naming scheme that's going to be going forward. How do you personally feel about losing desserts?
We lose a fun thing to talk about every year. Everybody likes the guessing game. Everybody likes, guessing. It's fun. It's been here for so long. And it was always whimsical, which is a key part of Google's DNA. But I think from a coverage standpoint, it is boring. There's no getting around that. Android 10, Android 11, Android 12. Like iOS, like Chrome OS, like Windows, like everybody else. But I think where it's going to be weirder is when it's next to a phone name, the Pixel 4 with Android 10, the Galaxy Note 10 with Android 10. Side by side, I don't know the optics of that, and it could get a bit of an overload in terms of numerical things that people have to keep juggling in their mind. Yeah. But it's obvious. It's an obviousness to it.
There's many, many things to talk about with this. First of all, let's give Google its time, and let's talk about what Google says is happening this. You had a unique opportunity to sit down with Samir Samat, and I forgot the other guy's name, but VP of Android,
Samir Samat. Android Global Director, Odd,
right.
And with the butcher name, apologies. But yeah, so these two high-level people at Google who oversee Android and oversee Android's work. So the reason they moved away from desserts was because food is so local. It's not universal as some people might think. It's every country, every region even has its own specific cuisine. And for the most part, the history of Android dessert naming has been very westernized. That's obvious in many ways. And something pie, for example, it's not considered dessert around the world. Mm. And people in the past, they were curious by it. Why is it? How does this fit with Google's naming strategy? Another interesting one that they gave us was a reason they explained to us was Android Lollipop. And next year, if they kept with the letters, it would be Android R. So in languages like Japanese, there's no sound for L and R. So what ends up happening would people wouldn't be clear what version OS their phone is actually running and what right. they're upgrading to. That's just a whole thing that Google got to avoid going forward.
So in your talks with them, the on the record answer for why they're moving away from the dessert names is primarily about the kind of international accessibility of the name, and localization, I guess, is the right word.
Yeah,
and that makes sense. I don't think that's untrue. I think that it's it actually makes a lot of sense. I really like the example they gave you about the Q dessert that is not a Western dessert. What was the what was the dessert?
It was Queen's cake.
Oh yeah, and then the other one was
Quinhem. It's this Brazilian pastry, okay. Coconut tart kind of thing, and I've never heard of it. When it was mentioned to me, I had no idea what it was.
Right, and I think that's really great that they use that as an example, because that really highlights the issue is that they were able to find a Q dessert that was not Westernized, and if they had used it, then that becomes a problem for those of us in the United States or in Europe, because it's like we're not familiar with that one. That doesn't make any sense. That's a weird name. And that's how everyone else in the whole world feels whenever they use marshmallow as a name for a dessert, when that's just not even recognized as a sweet treat anywhere else.
I think makes we had total a small sense. Preview of this with nougat, actually. I wasn't really aware what nougat was when they announced it the first time.
Yeah.
It definitely seemed to be a more European thing, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is. It definitely is more European than American. But that's Google's official kind of messaging around this change. But I think there are some other things that we know or may be affecting this change. One thing is we've heard that part of it is that just most people that use Android just either didn't know that the dessert naming tradition existed or just didn't care about it. And so therefore, you know, at some point, I guess you have to realize or remember that there is an end game. There is a logical conclusion to this. And the end game is that, I see you smirking, Avengers. The end game is that there's only 26 letters in the alphabet. And so after Z, you know, what's Android 27 going to be called, right?
Yeah.
And so this couldn't go on forever. And so, you know, right now might have just been an opportune time, given that Q was such a hard one to name, an opportune time to have the conversation. And as we found out, the result was moving on from this tradition. But another thing I think is that a lot of people who use Android, which is it's the most popular operating system in the world, don't even know that this whole thing existed. It was very much a kind of Google bubble, kind of Android fan circle tradition, and not something that really most people were familiar with. And I think that's hard for us to forget as people that have been following the fun Android, you know, dessert names every year for 10 years. So that's definitely a factor, I think, too, was that it's just not very relevant. It's not very relevant to Android's mission or Android's brand. However, the playfulness is relevant, and that's something they touched on, and they're going to keep that around. In a variety of ways.
Which the next part of this is beyond the Android 10, beyond this year, going forward, there's a new word mark for Android. They basically swim down, they shrink it a bit so that it works better on different screen sizes. And it's now in black instead of green, which is another accessibility detail that Google wanted to make sure people who are hard of who have visual impairments can recognize the brand better. And the robot head will always appear next to the words Android, next to that word mark, either next to it or on the very top. And I think this is the bigger change besides the controversy with the dessert naming scheme, because the robot is friendly. It's another sense of whimsical. What other does Windows have a mascot? Does iOS have a mascot? Not really. It's just Android in terms of the scale we're talking about. And what they're doing here is getting that name out there, that visual look out there all the time. And I think that's going to really help making Android look friendlier, maybe more appealing, easier to use. That entire perception could change by just putting this animation out there all the time.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know. It's just I really like the fresher brand imagery.
Yeah, it's a change that was needed. The most recent redesign was in 2014, and this one just swims it down, tones it down. So I think one interesting thing that could be happening here is us seeing Android out in the world in stores and advertising, which is, which if you...
You think more so?
I think so, because Google is building a brand identity with this new Android naming scheme, this Android logo. And it just works in more places. It's a prettier thing to put on a box on the side of a phone, for example. It's nicer to have signs. It's nicer to have in a video ad with this whimsical robot everywhere. And I think that Google told me they're not doing any marketing push or anything with this, or they're not asking their OEM partners to like put it in more places or anything like that. But the fact that it can work in more places with a new color palette, with a new color scheme, could ultimately help it get into more places in the world. And something for Google, that's helpful.
Yeah, that makes sense. Another aspect of this, speaking of OEMs, I think that might be, and I forgot who mentioned this, but someone on Twitter mentioned this earlier today, was that another aspect of going back to the previous conversation about going to numbers primarily, is that it may put just a slight bit of pressure on OEMs to keep their Android versions updated a little bit better. Do you think that's the case? Do you think that the number will highlight more so? I mean, last year, for instance, you know, we had Android 9 Pie. And so the number has already been kind of a part of the name going back a long ways. But making the number more prominent and getting rid of the desserts that kind of make it a little bit less clear. Yeah. If you make it purely number based succession, then it does give a little bit of a sense that phones are behind more so than it did before, you think?
Yeah, Google doesn't advertise the new version of Android. They beyond social media, beyond online, they've never really done that. And this could be a chance for them to start doing that because they have a so much more cohesive message. So it could, but I think any little thing to push OEMs can't hurt. It obviously helps.
Everybody. Yeah, I think the main place that the version of Android is seen is not in marketing or advertising or anything, but it's whenever you're looking at, when someone who's going to buy a phone is looking at the spec sheet, usually the version of Android is listed as an item on the spec sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And before, I think OEMs have gotten away with, if they didn't have the latest version, they could just not put the number on there and just say, they could even lie and just be like, latest version of Android, Android Nougat or whatever. Like I've seen that. I've seen that many times where brands have gotten away with calling it Nougat, not putting the number on there and just calling it the latest version or the best version or something like that. That's just very disingenuous. Whereas now they've got no way to mislead people on that. Instead of putting Android Pie and just it's a dessert. You know, they now have to put Android 10, Android 11, Android 12, and it'll be very clear where some OEMs are behind, I think, or more clear than it was before.
Yeah. So again, new look, cleaner look, more modern, new name.
Yeah. Is there anything else on the kind of interview, interesting tidbits of information that we haven't talked about?
When I was talking with Samir, the point he was trying to emphasize was Android has a long way to go. It has so much left to do. It just finished its first 10 years last year in 2018. And this is another decade and another opportunity for Google to expand itself. And Android is the world's largest operating system. And ultimately, That's how Google interacts with many people, many people around the world. And the point they were trying to emphasize was there is a huge place for Android in everything they do. And at the end of the day, this is Android in all the talks of like fuchsia and what they're doing in the future, the next generation OSs and all that. The one that's here today is Android. And in terms of what people are going to interact with, it will be Android.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's an interesting dichotomy here because it's, on one hand, it's you have the very, very real, tangible proof that the Android brand has become less at the forefront in many, many areas of Google's products.
Yes.
Software and hardware, not just, I mean, it's not like there's two silos. One of them is the Made by Google stuff, which is, you know, they didn't mention Android a single time on stage at the Made by Google 2018 event, which apparently really ruffled feathers when I wrote that article. I'm just telling you the facts. They just didn't say the word Android, you know, and it's not like there's that silo, the anti-Android silo, and then there's the pro-Android silo over here, which is the, you know, kind of the old camp of Android people, where the Nexus phones were kind of an extension of Android software rather than being Google's own hardware initiative, or Google's proper hardware initiative, I should say. I don't think it's as clear as it being, you know, the anti-Android and the pro-Android sides of Google. Because, you know, on the software side of things, we are seeing very interesting things where products that are kind of at the forefront, really important products, are just not being called Android anymore. You know, Wear OS. There was, you know, the most recent example was Google moving from Android Auto on the phone to a Google Assistant interface.
Driving mode.
Driving, Google Assistant driving mode. It used to be Android Auto on the phone. I don't think that's what they called it, but it was Android Auto on the phone. And now, you know, they've moved away from the Android. It's no longer an Android-centric experience, although obviously Google Assistant is software that runs on the Android operating system, on the Android phone. It's still Android, just a matter of how much is Google putting this at the forefront of its branding messages. And it seems to me, I think it's undeniable that the last few years, the evidence has been that there are some groups, there are some, I guess, tribes in Google. Maybe there's kind of a little bit of a rift in kind of the marketing branding side of Google, of some people are trying to retain a very, very valuable brand, retain the traditions associated with it, retain the name, retain these things in other parts of Google, or the marketing divisions that are, you know, more trying to embrace the friendliness of the multicolored four color Google. And obviously the fact that Google is a way more consumer facing brand name than Android is. Android is extremely big, extremely popular, but I don't think that it's as big as Google. And so therefore, you know, what are ways in which Google can leverage the Google name to push products? And I think we've clearly seen that. We just kind of, this whole conversation goes back to Google Home, which we talked about at the top of the show, and Google Home was clearly, it wasn't Android Home. And obviously it runs the Cast platform, which is a derivative of Chrome. So it's not actually related to Android at all. The Google Home isn't really, I mean, except for the fact that it's a Google product and you can control it using an Android phone or whatever. So it made sense to not use the Android brand on that product. But I think even with Android, Android Pay, for example, like Google in that case decided that Google Pay was a more user-friendly, I guess, consumer-friendly brand to use than Android Pay. I don't know the minutia behind, you know, those decisions, but it's just interesting to me. What do you think about this? That on one hand, it's very clear that Google has decided in many areas of many facets of its most important products to move away from Android brand, and is at the same time saying, but it's not like we're going to eventually get to the point where Android is gone. It's just that we've decided in these cases that is that kind of the messaging that you received from them, was that Android's not going anywhere, the brand isn't going anywhere, but there are cases that we're considering on a case by case basis where it just makes more sense to not use the Android name. Is that what you think is happening?
So I was clearly the people I was talking with was the Android team, the people in charge of that team, and they're very and they're very enthusiastic about the products they're reading. But right. At the same time, there are in the context of other products, I did ask them about Wear OS and driving mode and why it switched to assistant. So the answer to that was basically that Google goes with what works in that context. It's a product-by-product basis, which speaks to something that you said about its most important products going forward and evaluating it at that time. So I think in many ways, I don't think there's any overarching narrative to change Android or to like from the rest
of the brand.
Yeah, it's at this scale, at 2.5 billion monthly active users, you just said it works whether or not you talk about it. It's still there.
That's more than the world's most popular religion, by the way.
Oh man, that's nice. Oh yeah,
that's
it is.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. But
yes,
it's there in the background, and maybe stuff changes with this marketing push with Android 10. Maybe not, but I think everything you said in the past applies to the past, and
yeah,
things could change in the future. But they haven't shown it yet. They haven't.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. I don't think I or really anyone took this trend of Google removing the Android name from its products to mean that the end game is that Android as an operating system is going to lose the name. If we go back to, you know, as I just mentioned, it's bigger than the world's largest religion. It would be like Christianity deciding to name Jesus something else. And, you know, it's just that it really is literally by the numbers. It's that the brand is that
scale. Ubiquitous. That's what we're talking about here.
That's the scale.
That's the reach. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's actually, I'm proud of myself for coming up with that metaphor, because I think that's actually pretty apt that Google can't just remove the Android brand. But at the same time, it makes a lot of sense for them to remove the Android brand from places that it's crept in that it doesn't make sense to use it.
Yeah. And when they have stronger brands, they don't want competing. They don't want people to be confused about, hey, what am I using? They'll just use what works.
Right. Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap up the show. There were some Google Stadia things, but if we're honest, they were pretty boring.
Yes. I have to mention that Cyberpunk 2077 is now coming to Stadia, and that's apparently what all people care about in the future.
Well, I know nothing about that, so.
And I guess the one other tidbit that was not games related is the fact that Google's almost sold out of Founders Edition launch day bundles in some countries, in some of the 14 countries. So
depends on how many they had it in stock. Was it five?
Google doesn't share numbers. They historically do not share. And I think they've shared home stuff. They haven't shared phone stuff. But I think
we've sold out of our backlog of 100 Stadia Founders packs.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, I think the point I wanted to make was maybe we'll actually get the least active user numbers with Stadia in the future.
Yeah,
because it's maybe a service. That'd be very interesting.
Finally, we also got a look at the Google Stadia UI for the first time at Gamescom, and Kyle did a pretty good post about that, kind of just outlining it and explaining what it means. So you should go check that out for sure.
Yes.
If you're at all interested in Stadia. It's the first glimpse we've had at the actual UI of the gamings.
Unlike the Xbox interface, the sidebar is not on the left. It's on the right.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is game-changing.
Game-changing.
All right. Until next week, you can tune in Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast every Wednesday or Thursday. We're trying to figure this out. Really sorry. We publish on podcasting platforms not long after. You can find us on all your favorite platforms, such as iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, and you can also listen directly over at 95google.com or on YouTube. Be sure to leave us some feedback over on YouTube or at 95google.com at this post for this show. And be sure to follow us, twitter.com/ABC Scoop. You can follow us there for any updates on when the show will be live. Today we had an early show because of all the Android stuff and because of my Nest Mini story yesterday. Thanks for tuning in as always. And thanks to Abner for joining me. And we'll see you again next week.
Bye.
Later.